Glad you're here. It's awesome to come together as believers and worship God. It's just special every time we do it. It doesn't get old. Well, I'm still wearing my Razorback red today. I'm still proud to be a Hog fan. I may not after the Mississippi State game, but today I'm proud to be a Hog fan. Oh, we got to have a little fun, don't we? I know you watched the game, so it was good, except for the L. Wow. We began a new series last week called Words, Life or Death. Our words define us. Our words frame the world that we live in. Your world has been framed by words that have been spoken to you, good or bad. Last week we talked about the value of words, how that words, number one, connect us to God. You met God through the words of your mouth. Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. You confessed Him as Lord and Savior. And you used faith-filled words to do that. And you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're connected to people through your words. We talked about marriage and the marriage vows last week. How that our words spoken between people are words that connect us. And words that God holds us to. And that we can have faith in each other. Your words are used to establish friendships. Words are important. But also we found out that words do some other things sometimes. Sometimes words cost. Have you ever said anything you regretted with the words of your mouth? Words cost us sometimes. And then the second thing is that words hurt. You ever heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? Lie, 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 lie. Words do hurt. Words do hurt. In fact, some people never get over words that are spoken to them. You can, but some people don't, because they allow those words to frame them in a negative way. And then the last thing is that words last. Words last. Hurtful words sometimes last a long time in our hearts. But listen, there's a good side of this also, because, you know, words heal too. And words, good words last too. And you can take the Word of God and you can put it in your heart and you can change your life. You can change your heart. Today we're going to talk about, and this is going to be tough today. I'm just telling you right up front, it's tough. It's tough, tough, tough. And you know, some people say, well, that's just a feel-good church out there. Well, you're going to really feel good today. Because this is a tough one. And it's called the 10 Deadly Sins. And it's basically talking about how we use our mouths and sin. And we do that. I got to confess, I did it this morning. I did. And I had to repent. The Holy Spirit convicted me, and I had to repent this morning of one of these deadly sins that I'm going to talk about today. So all of us have sinned with the words of our mouth. Let's just get that right out in the open. And probably this last week, many times, many of us have sinned with the words of our mouth. And so sometimes before we can turn our lives around, if we're going to frame our lives in a good way, and not have been framed by bad things that have been spoken into us, we have to deal with the bad before we can get to the good. See, God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The Word of God is our answer. But when you think that when you've been told all your life that you're an accident and you're no good and you're never going to amount to anything, you believe that more sometimes than you do the Word of God. So you have to deal. Sometimes you have to undo some things before you can redo some things in a positive manner. And I could preach a whole series about that. But today we're going to talk about the 10 deadly sins. Our foundation text is found in Proverbs 18, verse 21. And it says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, let's say it another word. Way. Your words are either working for you or they're working against you. If you're speaking negative things about yourself, guess what's happening in your life? Negative things. But you can turn that around and say what God says about you. And see, I'm not talking about mind over matter. There's a certain amount of truth in mind over matter. I'm talking about the Word of God over your circumstances. And see, we have been called to proclaim the Word of God even in our own lives. So you can frame, if you don't like where you are, quit saying about yourself what you're saying and start getting the Word of God, find what it says, and start saying that about yourself. It'll take time, but listen, you'll see your world begin to change. You'll see yourself differently. Your heart will begin to change. Your mouth will begin to change. Your actions will begin to change. See, what you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you say, and what you say is what you do, and what you do is what you become. It's just a true thing. You always say before you do. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I believe that that's talking about the life part. You can eat the fruit of life, or you can live in the fruit of death. Proverbs is a very interesting book. Basically, it talks about three things that are intertwined: money, morals, and mouth. And all of those are, whether we realize it or not, all of those are intricately intertwined with one another. See, the way that you deal with money, see, money has no nature within itself. It has no nature within itself. But our attitude towards money, our heart towards money, it shows our morals. Do I make money so that I can be about me? Or do I love God with my money? Do I love my fellow man with my money? Or is my money all about me? See, it's a moral issue. It's a moral issue. It could be a fear issue, which is a moral issue. So money, morals, and mouth. All of these are intertwined. And Proverbs says a lot about it. There are 31 Proverbs in the Bible. There's one for each day of the month. You ought to read it. It'll help you. Proverbs 16, these six things the Lord hates. And yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Did you notice that all of these have to do with how we relate to each other? God loves people. God loves you. And if I abuse you with my mouth, God doesn't like that. God does not like for you to use your mouth to abuse someone else. And we're going to talk about 10 ways that we do that. And I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today. In fact, we're going to have prayer at the end. We might need prayer because I had to repent this morning. I'm not too good to repent. Maybe you need to repent about some things. And so we'll have prayer in just a few minutes. But we got to get to this because we're going to talk about 10 deadly sins, and they're all of the mouth. The first one is lying. God hates lying. Did you know that? Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. You know, we probably have all lied. No, I guarantee you, we've all lied. We've all told a lie. Sometimes we just blatantly lie. Sometimes we innocently lie. And sometimes we conveniently lie. You know, somebody walks in, "How do you like my new hairdo?" Well, you don't say, "I just think that's the awfulest looking thing I've ever seen in my life." No, you lie like a dog. When your wife says, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" No, not at all. Well, that's lying, isn't it? Well, it could be. It could be. But sometimes, so there's many reasons that we lie, okay? But the Bible says that God It's an abomination unto God when we lie. You know why? Because it is the opposite of his nature. God does not lie. God cannot lie. There's certain, people say God can do anything. No, he can't. No, he can't. He can't lie. He can't deny himself. He can't go against himself. He can't go against his own nature. He doesn't go against his own word, his own precepts. He set those in motion as life or death, determined on what we choose. He don't go against those things. He doesn't do that. He can't. He's God. Well, he can do anything. Well, he can do everything that's possible to do. There are some things that are not possible, and lying is one of those things. And it's totally against God's nature to lie. So when we lie, we usually do it for some kind of an advantage, or to deceive, or for some other reason like that. But God delights when we tell the truth. Now, I'm not telling you to tell your wife that dress makes her look. You know, there's other ways that you can say certain things. How do you like this hairdo? Interesting. That's very interesting looking hairdo. Huh, I do. So I'm giving my secrets away. So please don't ask me. Please don't. How do you like my new hairdo? Don't ask me that. I'm not going to answer. I plead the fifth. But anyway, so lying is not a good thing for us to do. Number two is sowing discord. Now, sowing discord is disagreement, a difference of opinion that leads to strife, dispute, or war. The purpose of discord is to divide. Now, I'm going to say something that's very political, okay? I don't know about you, but I am tired of all of these political ads. Is anybody else tired of those things? Oh, my goodness. They do that on purpose. You know why they do that? To sow discord. They're sowing discord. Now, I'm of the opinion, and again, this is my opinion. Now, let me preface. I believe every believer should vote. I think one of the reasons that our nation is not going the direction that it should is that that many believers do not register to vote, or they don't like candidates, so they don't go vote. And we let a very small percentage of people control the moral direction of our country. I think that and I know sometimes it's hard to know who to vote for. I mean, sometimes it's the left, but we need to vote. But here's something, and this is my opinion, okay? I preface that. I don't have chapter and verse. I don't really think either political party in America today cares that much about the general populace. I believe that they're doing everything that they can do, that their party is in power. That's just my opinion. So what do? They throw out all of this negativity to divide, to sow discord, and it creates a spirit of strife. I wish on the ballot, especially a particular one, prior cotton ballot, that they had a third one that says none of the above. Because that's how I would vote right there. Because they use discord to control. Now, and it's not just in the political realm. There's people in churches who do that. There's people in the workplace that do that. God does not like discord. He does not like those who sow discord among the brethren. Proverbs 6:12 says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Why does he sow discord? So that he can control. But verse 15 says something that is very strong. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. There is a price for those who sow discord. I have seen it in churches. I have seen people who they think their spiritual gift is to be confrontational, to be anti, to sow discord. and they think that they're doing something good, but they're doing something evil. And I have seen many times that that comes back around and it bites them. It is not good when people sow discord among brothers. The third one, and this is where I sin this morning. I'm just going to be open and transparent. Gossip. That's idle talk or rumor, especially about the person or the private affairs of others. And I did it. It's just innocent. It's not innocent. But it seemed innocent. I just passed along some information. And then when I was driving from McDonald's to the church, my heart, the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, yep, you sinned. I had to repent. And that's the good thing. We can repent. When we miss it with our mouth, we can repent. And you need to do that as quick as you can when you pass on gossip. You know, we don't go around spreading rumors. You know, a lot of times, you know, what we say is true. And we think that if it's true, then it's okay to say it. But if it puts a person in a bad light, it's not good. It's not good. And we don't need to be doing that, because the Bible calls it gossip. Proverbs 20:19. I told you this is going to be tough today. A gossip goes around telling secrets. So don't hang around the chatterers. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Paul says to the Corinthian church, "For I'm afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior." Gossip's not a good thing. Gossip is not a good thing. It's best to just keep your mouth shut. You know, in the workplace, gossip happens all the time. In the church, gossip happens. People just have a tendency to let the brain disengage and the tongue go, and they just blabber. We do that. Well, we need to quit. We need to quit. The fourth one, slander. What's slander? It's a malicious, false, and defamatory statement or report. It's kind of like gossip, but what you're passing along is not even true. It's just not even true. It's just something that you heard. You didn't check it out. You haven't substantiated, and it turns out that it's not true, then it's slander. If it is true, it's gossip. If it's not true, it's slander. So do you get an idea? We're really not just supposed to be passing along information that makes other people look bad. You know, a lot of times when we say something bad about somebody else, we're trying to make ourselves look good. And that's not good. That's not good at all. God hates it. Okay, slander. Psalms 104:11. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let not a slanderer be established in there. We could say it this way, and it would be just as good. Let not a slanderer be established in your friendship. Let not a slanderer be established in your church. Let not a slanderer be established in your life. If you listen to that stuff long enough, it will affect you. It will affect your heart. It will affect your mouth. And you will become guilty of the same thing that you listen to. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Remember that? Did your mommy ever sing that to you when you was little? Okay. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever hides hatred has a lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. 1 Corinthians 5:11. The Bible's full of dealing with stuff like this. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. Why? So we can be high and holy? No. So that we will not be affected by their words. See, we're easily persuaded with words. All of us. We're easily affected by words. And you can be affected and really not realize what's going on. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives where these things are concerned. Holy Spirit, if I say something I shouldn't say, quicken me right there. I'll repent. You know what? He'll do it if you'll let him. But many times, like I said, we disengage brain, open mouth, and tongue flies 100 miles an hour. The next one, number five, see, we're almost halfway done. Aren't you feeling good? Tale-bearing, a person who spreads gossip, secrets that may cause trouble or harm. That's what a tale-bearer does. It could be true, it could be false. It's just, you know, it's telephone, telegraph, and you fill in the blank, somebody's name. Everybody knows tale-bearers. They're just telling stuff. They tell what they hear. And it's close to gossip, it's close to slander, it's close to these other things, but they just tell everything that they know. They just tell everything that they know. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of faithful spirit conceals a matter. See, it contrasts two kinds of lifestyle. What does a talebearer do? He tells everything he knows. What does a faithful person does that knows the same information that the talebearer knows? He conceals the secret. Let's say that I know that David is struggling with a particular thing in his life. If I'm really a friend to him, am I going to tell everybody what he's struggling with? If I do that, I will estrange him from me, and I will estrange him from every person that I share that with. What does a real friend do? A real friend does not reveal it, and he will have an opportunity to speak into that person's life, and with encouragement or confrontation or whatever needs to happen, but he conceals the matter. He conceals the matter. The easiest thing to do is blab, to be a talebearer. That is not good. The sixth one, we're on the last half now. Hope you're feeling better. Well, hold on. The next one is cursing. Cursing. Now, I know what you think I'm thinking, but that's not what I'm thinking. What is cursing? The expression of a wish that misfortune, evil, doom, etc. shall befall a person or a group of people. In other words, we could say that this is a form of witchcraft. This is a form of witchcraft. When people curse other people, how do we do that? We can do that with the words of our mouth. What does it reveal? It reveals a moral issue that we have in our heart. See, that curse may come out of a hurt. Or it could come out of a spirit of bitterness. It could come out of a spirit of unforgiveness. And because of that, you wish ill will towards that person. Now, why is that so bad? Well, number one, vengeance is not yours, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's God's job to be the judge. It's not our job to be the judge. See, he's a better judge because he knows the thought and the intent of the heart. You do not. Sometimes people may hurt you and just do it so innocently and without a spirit of malice whatsoever, but it still hurts your feelings and you're all upset and you're wanting to put a curse on them. May the bird of paradise fly up their nose. May an elephant caress them with their toes. You know, I mean, you're out there and you're wanting to put a curse on somebody. You have ill will toward them. And the words that you speak towards them are not good words. God wants you to be a blesser, not a curser. And our heart towards other people, we should want God's best for everybody, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. God wants to bless people, not curse people. Now, God will judge, and there's coming a day of judgment. I'm not diminishing that, but that's above our pay grade. That's not what we're designed to do, is to make those kind of judgments about people. And our words need to be words of cursing. We need to find ways to bless people with our words. See, you know not what spirit you're of. When you speak curses, you know not what spirit you're of. The disciples wanted to call fire down on some folks. And that's what Jesus said to them. You don't know what spirit you're of. You don't understand what this is about. And I know Christians who are almost involved in witchcraft where these things are concerned. Now, that sounds weird to some of you, but, that, you know, that's kind of what witchcraft is cursing. It doesn't have really anything to do with your saying bad words, but it has to do with this. Okay, Romans 3, verse 13 talks about a people. It says, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their tongues. See, their words are poison. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. A lot of times, ill will comes out of bitterness. Psalms 109:17. As a loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with a garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. What happens to a person who's of a bitter spirit and who uses his words to curse others? It'll come back on him. The curse that he curses others with because of his bitterness, he will find himself cursed by his own words. That's not the spirit that we're of. That has nothing to do with the nature of our God. We do not promote Christ that way. Number 7 is blasphemy. Big word. Blasphemy means to use God's name in an unsecured or self-serving way. Bear with me. I'm not going to cuss, okay? Why is the word God, silent, 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 and damn considered cursing? Because you're attributing something to God that's not his nature to do. Why is it okay for me to say, Dustin, God bless you? Because God is the blesser. He doesn't just discriminately curse people. God's desire is blessing, not cursing. Now, you can get yourself under curse if you want to. But listen, God's desire is blessing. That's his first nature. For God so loved the world he gave. If God wanted to curse you, he could find a reason to curse you. God is not interested in cursing you. God is interested in finding a way to bless you. That's good news. And we need to use God's name in a way that is blessing and not cursing. We don't need to blaspheme. Or we don't need to use God's name in a self-serving way. Now, this might get close to home with some. I've heard people say, you know, God told me to tell you. Well, listen, you need to be careful about that. I know God speaks to people. And I know sometimes God tells somebody to say something that he said. But when we do that for selfish motives, to move people, and we're using the name of God to do that, that's blasphemy. You know what happened in the Old Testament when the prophets they would prophesy in the name of the Lord and it didn't come to pass? You know what they did to those guys? They stoned them. Aren't you glad we don't do that today? I am. When you speak for God, make sure you're speaking for God. I've seen people use the name of God to move people in a direction that is very selfish. God told me that there's 100 people here today that's going to give $1,000. Well, listen, if you say that, you better know that God spoke. Otherwise, you're blaspheming. So we need to be careful about speaking for God, especially for selfish motives and for selfish reasons. Exodus chapter 20 verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." That means vain means in a non-productive way. When you use the name of God, it should produce. And if you're speaking His word, it will produce. Why? Because there's no word of God void of power. If you speak the word, you're always safe. Don't be presumptuous. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Number 8, we're getting close. Filthy language. Filthy language. What is filthy language? Telling dirty jokes. Using coarse language. Okay? Do I need to get plainer? Dropping the F-bomb. Okay? I can get plainer. I mean, sometimes you got to explain it good, okay? Language is not befitting for Christians. Colossians 3:8. Now see, one thing about coming to this church, we're not a regular kind of church. We try to be a kind of church where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes you address issues that need to be addressed. "But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." It's not becoming. It's not Christ-like. I cannot imagine Jesus Christ using filthy language. I just can't imagine him doing that. Don't think he did. The 9th one is contentious speech. That's speech that's tending to argument or strife or quarrelsome. There are people that no matter what the issue is, they're contentious. You ever been around somebody that they play devil's advocate? They're always arguing. They have an argumentative spirit about them. They may agree with you, but they just want to stir up something. Contentious speech. Now I'm going to read a scripture, ladies. Up front, forgive me. It's Proverbs 21:9. "Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Now, let me read another verse, ladies. You'll like this one. Proverbs 26:21. "As charcoal is to burning coals and fire to wood, so is a contentious man." Everybody say man. "To kindle strife." What is that saying? That contentious person is like charcoal. You have fire. You bring this contentious man. It's like putting fire on a charcoal, and it just keeps the fire going. That's the way a contentious person is. They're always keeping something stirred up. Strife and quarrelsome and arguing and contention. And what does that do to a family? What when you come home at night and mama ain't happy and ain't nobody else happy in the house, it's just not peaceful. What should the home be like? Should be peaceful. It should be a refuge. And it's just not the woman. There are men that are contentious. Ladies, all said. He may be sitting next to you. I don't know. But your home needs to be a place of peace. And if there is a contentious person in that home, it's not going to be that way. If there's a contentious person in the church, it's going to be trouble. But let me tell you something. If somebody tries to be contentious, you know the best thing you can do is look them right in the eye and you say, you know what? I don't want to hear that mess. My ears are not garbage cans, and I do not want to hear that garbage. They will shut up. I promise they will. Number 10. We're almost to the end. Are you ready? Whew. Unbelief. This may be the worst one. Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you know the Bible calls unbelief a sin? Now, how is unbelief released? Through the words of your mouth. You know what unbelief basically says? Well, I know the Bible says this, but I don't feel like it's true. I don't feel like it's true. I just can't work that out in my mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to trust. And so what does unbelief do? It leads us further and further and further away from God. An evil heart of unbelief. Well, there's 10 deadly sins. I got to ask you a question. Prayer team, would you come? We won't have a time of prayer here today, but I got to ask you a question. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is it that the Holy Spirit brought to your heart today? For me today, it was gossip. I passed along a piece of information that I should not have. You know what I did? I repented. You know what God did? He forgave me. And I'm so glad. He didn't beat me up. He corrected me. I repented. He forgave me. Is there anything you need to repent of today? Or maybe you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you need to do that today. Any one of these people can pray that prayer with you here today. You can come to faith in Christ. Maybe you've been away from God and need to come back to God. Listen, they can pray with you. So I want to pray, and as we pray, the worship team is going to sing another song, and we're going to give you a time to respond. So that you can deal with what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Father, thank you today. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you're not here to condemn us, but you're here to correct us and lead us in the life, the way of life and peace and love everlasting. Thank you for speaking today. Lord, may your people have courage to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.